We're going to come to God's Word now. So we're going to continue our studies in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 28 is our passage this morning. And as we've been singing and we've been praying, we want to know what God's speaking is to us this morning from His Word. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage to begin with this morning. It's a long passage, but I'm going to read it as we go along, that we might follow, that we might pick up the truth that we need to hear to be benefited for our lives. Aladdin. Anybody heard of Aladdin? Children, have you heard of Aladdin? And Kai's heard of Aladdin. Anybody else heard of Aladdin? And I believe there's a new film out, a new Aladdin film out. Isn't that last week or so? There's a new Aladdin film out. Some of you may even have seen it. One of the characters, and you can correct me here, I maybe need some instruction here, but there is a character, a genie character. There's a genie in Aladdin. Is that right? And you can take control of the genie, and the genie will do what you want. Is that right? Yeah. You take control of the genie, and if you've got a desire that you be taken to Australia, the genie will take you to Australia. Yeah, that's the genie. You're in control. Yeah. Now, that's an interesting thought as regards to the view that many people have of God. Because many people treat God as a genie. They think God is the one who does what I want. God is the one who is ordered and instructed by me. So people will say something, when they hear something about the God of the Bible, say, well, I can't believe in a God like that. Okay? Or, I don't want a God like that. Well, what do we say to that? Well, we simply say, whether you want a God like that, or whether you're happy with a God like that, this is God! This is the true God who is revealed in the Bible. There is no other true and living God. And the thing that we've got to learn this morning, everybody, as we're coming into this big instruction from Deuteronomy chapter 28, that we are not to be ordering God around like the genie. We are to be ordered around by God. It's God who's in control. It's not us. It's God who sets the terms for how we shall live. How should we live? We should live in the way that God calls us to live. And that's our theme this morning. How shall we live? How are you going to live from now on? June the 2nd, 2019. How are you going to live? What's going to be the way of your life, the character of your life? The drive of your life. If you flow with God, you will go well. If you do not flow with God's will, it will go badly. In many ways, that's simply what the message is about this morning. Well, we're in Deuteronomy in chapter 28, and we want to be thinking about where are we at in this part of the Bible? Deuteronomy, Old Testament, long ago. Well, the nation of Israel is at a big moment in their history. They're about to go and take this great land, this beautiful land, this prosperous land. It's just a great place that God has given them, and they're just about to take it. And Moses has given them a massive instructions from Deuteronomy 4, verse 44 to the end of chapter 26. He's given them loads of instructions about how they are to go and live in this land. He'd set them up. Okay? All right? Okay. And in chapter 27, he said, now, that is how you should live, but it's not just a take it or leave it thing. It is really a big thing. You've got to go and do it. You've got to go and live it. Chapter 28 is actually laying on a bit further how serious this is. Because if you don't go in God's way, you'll be seriously messed up. If you don't do all of those things that were put down by Moses in all of those passages early in Deuteronomy, then you're going to mess up. But if you do what God says, it's going to go well. Okay? So that's the basic gist of what the situation is. And the way we choose to live then has big consequences. You live one way, great. you live another way, seriously, seriously bad. Now, if you've read through Deuteronomy and chapter 28, it tells us about all kinds of things that will happen in the day-to-day lives of the people of Israel. If they're blessed, they're going to have lots of prosperity. If they've got a, things are going to go well in terms of their economy and in terms of the attitude of the other nations. And if they do badly, everything's going to go. If they don't live for the, according to God's commandments, it's going to go badly in every way in society. Now, one of the confusions people have when they come to a passage like this is they think, oh, if I start to obey God's commandments, I'm going to get lots of money, okay? And I'll have no need of the doctor anymore, okay? And there's all these kind of ideas. How do we respond to that? Well, fundamentally, we need to say that the issue concerning us as the people of God today is different to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was a nation, and it was living as a nation in this world. And their blessings were very physical to demonstrate God's kindness to them. However, there's a key verse for us to understand as regards to our situation as Christians, and it's Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are in a different sphere. There's no need to turn to it. The word of God through Paul to us says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Our blessings today, primarily, fellow believers, primarily are spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. They are not the physical blessings. Now, God does give us physical blessings, and we can thank him for that. Okay? But you cannot measure somebody's life by what's going on with them physically. Some of the most spiritually blessed people have got no money, have got absolutely ravaged bodies, but they are blessed immeasurably because they've got spiritual blessings. Yeah? And vice versa. People can have all the money in the world, or be the fittest people in the world, and they can be under the under the judgment of God, under the fearsome judgment of God, because they're not living for him. So we need to have that in our mind. Our blessings are spiritual in Christ Jesus. And it's about peace, and it's about joy, and it's about love, and it's about the progress in knowing Christ. It's about knowing that we are in God's favor and that he's working to build us up in Christ. Yeah. So this is a vital principle for us to be aware of. Yeah, our things are our blessings are primarily spiritual. Now, a final thing here then, as we're introducing this subject, is to be very much aware of this, that the key thing is that we flow with God, what God wants us to do. We flow with God's arrangement for things. Okay? People talk about being on the right side of history. And people say, well, if you don't do a certain thing, you'll be on the wrong side of history. Well, I want to tell you this morning, if you go with God's plan, you'll be on the right side of history. If you go with God's plan for your life, you're on the right side of history. And you're also on the right side of eternity as well. If you go the other way, you're on the wrong side of history. No matter what people might say in society about the trends that are happening now, and they think these are the trends that are going to triumph, if they're against God's words, they will not triumph at all. Okay. I did the classic thing of saying that was my final introductory comment. I've got another one. God is consistent. You know, the Canaanites who were in the land before the nation of Israel were due to go into the land, the Canaanites had gods that you didn't really know what they were going to do. So you had to do all kinds of things to try and get them on your side because they were changeable. They could sometimes be in a bad mood, sometimes be in a good mood. God is not like that. God has set his terms. And they're not up for negotiation. And you don't have to bargain and barter with him. You simply have to submit to him. Okay? Right. Let's go into our passage then this morning. I've got two big sections this morning. First one is a contrast. Okay? So let us read, first of all, verses 1 to 6 of Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Okay? Let's hear God's word. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Okay. Two key words there. Blessing and obedience. Okay. Verse 1, it says, if you obey. End of verse 2 says, if you obey the Lord your God. If you obey, you will be blessed. It's a basic principle of God's operations. And if you look at those statements, it says you'll be blessed. Verse 3, you'll be blessed everywhere. And then in verses 4 and 5, you'll be blessed in everything. And in verse 6, you'll be blessed all the time. If you obey the way of the Lord. Okay, let's read verses 15 to 19. I want to read verses 15 to 19 now. 15 to 19, because they are parallel. Verses 15 to 19. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. And the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You'll be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Well, what are the two key issues here? Do not obey. Curse. What's a curse? Children, you know what a curse is. If a blessing means everything is going to go well, what do you think a curse means? A curse means everything's going to go badly. Everything's seriously going to go down, down, down. Everything is going to work out in a miserable and sad way. So the contrast is set. There is a contrast between blessing and cursing. If you obey, you'll be blessed. If you don't obey, you will be cursed. This is a principle for us all to take heed to. I just want to mention straight away that these things will apply straight away into all of our lives and all of our situations. And as we've already been thinking in our children's talk, we are all naturally under the curse because we're all people who have not fully obeyed the word and the way of the Lord. And we all are in a desperate need. And so the blessings are there and they're very attractive, I trust, to our souls this day. I trust we do want things to go well with ourselves and with others. And what we need to do is return to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need to get into a situation of blessing. Let me make it clear. As we go to this passage, it's not a case of turning over a new leaf, everybody, this morning. It's not a case of just turning over a new leaf. It's a case of getting right with God. Okay? And coming into the blessing through Christ Jesus, because he is the one who's the fully obedient one. He has done everything to please God. And we need to confess that we're under the curse. And we need to confess that we need Christ. And we need help. And in our repentance and our trust in Christ, we come into a situation where we can live out the blessing, live out the obedience, and live out the joy of God prospering our souls. So Christ is the one who's key to releasing us into those blessings in the first six verses. Otherwise, we're all under the curses of verses 15 through to 19. So that's the contrast. That's my first point this morning. Right, the second point is the rest. And the rest is quite long. But we want to go through it. And there are fundamentally two divisions
One is one shows the blessings in verses 7 through to 14. And then from verses 20 through to 68, it's all of the curses. Showing how bad it gets if you disobey God, and it's showing how good it gets if you obey God. If you flow with God's purposes. Okay. Just to point out, you'll notice there are far more curses than blessings. There's far more curses than blessings. Okay, just look at the passage, you'll see. Why is that? Well, if you offer people, if you offer people, say, the Christian life, you say to people, well, here's a blessed life. Come to it. Enjoy it. And somebody will say, well, I'm getting on fine anyway. I'll just carry on. You may have some blessings. Well, they're all very attractive, but I'm getting on decently. And they say, well, that's okay. You have your blessings. I'll just get on with the way I am. But if you actually say, if you carry on the way that you're going, you've got some serious curses. Then you actually start to shake people up and say, and I think that's what God is saying. Warnings are given in order that we don't go and mess up, aren't we? Yeah. If we go to the seaside and we're told not to go out too far into the sea because there's a danger, then that's warning to it's a warning to prevent us ending up in a mess. And these warnings are here are to prevent us ending up in a mess. And there's lots of them. Just to say, be clear. It's like a big siren that God gives saying, don't go in the way of disobedience. Fell to the evangelical church, all of us this morning, let's learn from this passage not to go in the way of disobedience. Can I mention as well, as we go through this passage, you can't just do a direct cause and effect with these things. And what I mean by that is global warming and the issues surrounding that are big issues nowadays. And one of the issues that they go to is the destruction of the rainforests. And they say the destruction of the rainforest is meaning that less carbon dioxide is trapped, and that has an effect upon the climate, and which affects sea levels. It's something like that is the reasoning. Now, you can't go, and that's disturbing everything. So you can't go to the cutting down of one tree in Indonesia and say the cutting down of that one tree has led to a certain consequence with regard to something else. You can't make that direct transference. That has led to that. But what you can say is the cutting down of the trees is just upsetting everything. And in these passages, you will see the general statements that obedience just leads to blessing in so many ways, and disobedience leads to mess in so many ways. Not that you can say, well, if you just don't go and steal this week, then you'll probably get given £10 at the end of the week. You just can't reason like that. If you go in the way of obedience, then you'll be blessed. And if you go in the way of disobedience, you're going to be cursed. Is the basic principle. And finally, as we're going to go through all of these things, I just want to say, this is a visual aid for us. God has given us a visual aid that we all can understand. And basically, God is saying, through all of these things, don't miss it. These are tangible, real things that lead to a blessing if you go in the right way and you can see them. It leads to curses if you go in the wrong way, and you can see those as well. And they are a picture ultimately of eternity, a picture of eternal blessings in heaven, and a picture of eternal pain in hell forever. So let's have those things in mind. So we're going to go to the causes and consequences in verses 7 through to 14. And let's start reading them. Verse 4, this is the blessings of obedience. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. Military progress. Verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord will bless you in the land he is giving you. Economic blessings. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as his holy people as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, there'll be a special people. Verse 10, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. They will be a prominent people. Verse 11, the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Economic prosperity again. Verse 13. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. Okay. Verse 13, there's a prominence. So you see, economic prosperity, military progress, prominence. And they're seen as a special people by God. You see, blessings we can see. Okay, so but God is placing here some indications about why this takes place. And so you'll see at the end of verse 8, he'll bless you in the land he is giving you. They are flowing with God's gracious gift. They're realizing this land is God's gracious gift, and they are flowing with the God who has given it to them. Second half of verse 9, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, they will be blessed. And then if you come to verses 13 and 14, it says, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. It's an obeying of the commands. Okay. Doing what God says. Don't go after other gods. Don't put them as your masters. Okay? Don't chase after the things of status, pleasure. Just having those to control your life, have God to control your life. Okay? Now, as you see these things, you will see that the people are operating as a different way to the world. Christians, Fulham Evangelical Church, should operate different to the world. The world says, I just want to go my way. We say we want to go God's way. And when we're going in the way of God, we will be different to the world. And the world will look at us and see you're different. The worst thing we can be as the people of God is just to choose to go our way and the world's way. And we're no different to the world. We've got to go God's way. And they go God's way, then they shine out. The people of God are always called to be an attractive display of God to people around about. There is a sense in which we should be attractive as individuals, as a community for people around. And when we are functioning properly as Christians, we will see these things from Colossians 1 emerging in our lives. And we will see how Paul was praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Obedient Christians will be seeing those things emerging in their lives for the glory of God. That
is the fruit of the blessing of the Lord upon us. Right. So those are the blessings. Causes and consequences. That's my second point. We're thinking of causes and consequences. We thought about the blessings, the causes and consequences of the blessings. Right. Let's go back to causes and consequences now of the curses. And here we're in verses 20 through to 68. So our first point this morning was the contrast, which we saw in those verses 1 to 6 and 15 to 19. Then the second point is the causes and the consequences. First of all, it was blessing. And then we're coming to think about the causes and consequences of the curse. Causes and consequences of the curse. So we're going to start at verse 20. Now, everybody got four words here. Got four words that I'm going to keep going back to as we go through this passage. The first one is calamity. The second one is futility. The third one is captivity. And the fourth one is misery. Okay? That's what will happen in your life. If you choose to walk disobedient to God, you will have a life of calamity, you'll have a life of captivity, you'll have a life of futility, and you'll have a life of misery. So we'll think of verses 20 to 29. First of all, we will think about calamity. What's calamity, everybody? Children, what's a calamity? Everybody know what a calamity is. Calamity is when everything's going wrong. So you had a day at work, and everything's gone wrong. And what do you say? It was just a calamity. Everything was going wrong. Well, let's see everything going wrong. Verses 20 to 29. This is not nice reading, everybody. Please brace yourselves for what's in this passage. It's not nice, okay? And it's just God is saying to us, it's always going to be really bad if you don't follow my ways. So verses 20 to 29. Let's read the word of God. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground under you and beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the sky until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven. And you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness and confusion of mind. At midday you will grope about like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you'll be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. Calamity. A life of complete calamity. They're even going back to those things that they were delivered from in Egypt, even preserved from in Egypt. The Lord will afflict you, verse 27, with the boils of Egypt. He's taking them back from where they had come out of. Your life is always going backwards and regressing. And when you go into the way of disobedience, you're always going away from what you are called to be when you go in the way of disobedience. Let's just feel the weight of that. I want to feel the weight of it this morning. This is no calm thing. Disobedience is always taking us in a bad way. But what are some of the causes? Those are the consequences of the curse and its calamity. What are some of the causes? So go back to verse 20. And what will you find one of the causes there? And because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. Gone your own way. Forsaken God, you turned away from him, rejected him. There we are. Gone your own way.
Okay, let's go on to the next section then, and verses 30 to 35. Verses 30 to 35, and this is futility. What is futility? What is futility? What is it when you do something that's just purely futile? Yeah. Well, it basically means when you've put a lot of energy into, say you put a lot of energy into doing something, okay? And you've been preparing to do some studies for your exams, for example. And you study something, and then you're told on the day of the exam paper, you shouldn't have studied that. And you say, that was all futile. It was for nothing. I got no benefit from it. That's what it is. Like, thing when views of, well, let's have a look at this passage and see how things are futile. Verses 30 through to 35. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish you. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, but no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes, watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. You see how things are futile? Build a house, looking forward to it. Nothing. Okay. Can I just say, as we're going through these things, they are setting up for us that if you do not believe in Christ and end up as a disobedient one eternally, there is a hell that is futile, futile, futile always. There's no fulfillment. It's a place of complete lack of fulfillment. Let's go on then. And verses 36 to 37, we'll see captivity. Captivity. People are trapped. Others take control of them. The Lord will drive you out, and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your fathers. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You will become a thing of horror and an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations where the Lord will drive you. And the sad news was, this happened to the nation of Israel. They did turn away. They did become disobedient, and they were taken away. Taken away. Firstly, the northern people, the northern tribes by Assyria, and secondly, the southern tribes by Judah. You see, they were taken captive. Taken away where they should have been. Okay, let's carry on. Verses 38 to 42. Futility again. You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather the grapes, because worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil, because the olives will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them, because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and the crops of your land. Futile. Futile. All activity coming to nothing. It's just a sad, sad life. And it all starts in verse 15, remember, because you disobeyed. Choose your own way. Okay, right. Everybody still with us? Just about. Let's keep going. Okay, next section then. Where are we up to? Let's 43 to 48. 43 to 48 is calamity again. 43 to 48, calamity. The alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. He will lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not observe did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you, they will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord, the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Can I just mention one thing here? This is not karma. You know, this is not what goes around comes around kind of thing. This is the Lord. Do you notice that? This is the Lord who does it. The Lord is taking action. It's not karma. You know, do this, get that. It's the Lord who's coming here. The Lord is sovereign over all. The Lord brings blessing. The Lord brings curses. Just notice, though, the Lord has given us another sign here about why it's all happening. He said, what's he given us? He's given it us in verses 45 and 46, hasn't he? Given us in verses 45. It's because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. And verse 46, it says, verse 47 rather, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. You didn't want to just go and do what he says. And everything peters away. Now, there's so many things that are bearing upon this situation. I just want to have a pause, everybody. Let's have a pause. Let's have a breather. Let's just have a breather here. And I just want to give you a whole scheme about how God works. God's plan is to have his people, have a people for himself, to be in his place. God wants his people in his place to be for him. And when his people are for him, they are involved in worship, service and obedience. Okay? And that's the beautiful thing that he wants. And so God here is going to take his people to a land where they will serve him, where they will worship him, and where they will obey him. That's what he wants. But you notice here, those two things are falling apart, aren't they? They don't obey him, and they don't serve him. And when those things start to happen, everything unravels. So, Feltham Evangelical Church, let's get these things going with us. We want to be a church of worship, service and obedience. And loving it to do it gladly. Did you notice that in that verse there? Verse 47. You didn't do it joyfully and gladly. Okay. It was great to study in Matthew 28 this morning about in the first service about the women. And it's just beautiful to see that they were the people who flow into blessing. They're just a great example in the New Testament. Go and study it in those verses. But they heard the word. They heard the word. And they were given work to do. They were given stuff to do as the word came. And then they went in obedience. And in obedience, guess what happened? Jesus met them. Jesus met them. He revealed himself. And then they worshipped him. And then they were welcomed by him. If you weren't there, please go and read it. That's what it should be. That is the life for us, fellow believers. Okay. Right, go back, Philip. Verse 49 to 57. Misery. Oh, right, everybody, this is where it really gets painful. If you're squeamish, dare I say it, close your ears. But this is not easy reading, okay? But this is misery of a fearsome character. We've got cannibalism here. And it's just showing us how bad it gets. All right, let's read verses 49 to 57. 49 to 57. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour the young of your livestock and the crops of your land until you are destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine or oil, nor the calves of your herds or lambs of your flocks until you are ruined. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout the land, your land, until until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. Because of the suffering that your enemy will inflict upon you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of the womb of the flesh of the sons and daughters the Lord your God has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children. And he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children that he is eating. It will be all he has left because of the suffering that your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her feet, would begrudge the husband she loves and her own son or daughter, the afterbirth from her womb, and the children she bears for you. She intends to eat them secretly during the siege and in the distress that your enemy will inflict on you in your cities. And without dwelling upon that, don't you feel that God is saying something very strong? And he's saying, disobedience is terrible. This is how bad it is. And you might say, well, I don't like that. And I'll say, I don't like it either. But it's in God's word and it's God's view on things that if you go in the way of disobedience, it's terrible, terrible consequences. And if you want to go and see what happens, you see it happen in the book of Lamentations, where this kind of stuff happened when Jerusalem was taken captive by the Babylonians. And notice how bad. Even the most gentle person in normal society in that day becomes brutal. A woman who wouldn't say boo to a goose becomes a brutal woman. And a man who's as gentle as any becomes brutal. Let's see some causes again, though. They're in that passage. And we'll see in verse 52, you'll see throughout your land until your high 45 walls in which you trust fall down. They trusted in their walls. They trusted in their strength. They trusted in their own power. We'll be secure. I've said this many times to you. It always makes me very concerned when somebody says, I'm okay. I can handle it. Day of judgment, I'll be all right. Be no problem for me. You just don't know. And this passage says, be fearful. And you see as well in verse 52, they will siege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. They've received all grace. This land has been given. It's all of grace. And they just reject it for their own way. The God of all grace has given them so much, and they just say, we'll do what we want. Oh, Christians, grace means obedience. Grace means loving devotion to your God. It is an abhorrence and an abomination that we as the people of grace would go and reject God's will and God's way. 58 to 63, captivity. If you do not carefully follow all the words of the law which are written in this book and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt and that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until you are destroyed. You who were as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number because you did not obey the Lord your God, just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number. So it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You'll be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. God had wanted his people in his place, and now he just takes them out. Against them. And what are they be doing? What are the causes of them going into captivity? What are the causes? You see there again in verse 52, don't you? Sorry, you see it in verse 58. Verse 58. They did not carefully follow all the words of the law which are written in the book. And they did not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. They did not worship. They did not appreciate him. okay. God wants his name to be worshipped. When we worship, we flow in his way. Here, they wouldn't choose his word, and they wouldn't choose to worship and revere him as he should be truly worshipped and revered. And so we read again as well. Right, let's carry on in verses... Verses 64 to 68, the final passage. And this is everything. This is captivity, this is futility, this is misery, and this is futility, captivity, calamity, misery. This is the whole lot. All in here now. Then the Lord will scatter you among all nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, give eyes weary with longing and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread, both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it were evening, and in the evening, if only it were morning, because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights that will, and the sights that your eyes will see. The Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. Captivity, futility, misery, calamity. And God is just saying to us, that's how things end up if we follow the way of disobedience. And the people of God here, who are supposed to be a shining light, and now it's got so bad that they go back to Egypt, the place that they'd be delivered out on, delivered from, and they're not even able to be slaves. You know, nobody wants them. They're just rejected. Despised. Now we'll just conclusion then, finally. And I trust we're a bit shocked. I think that's appropriate. I think God wants to shock us this morning. I think we want to be shocked. First of all, if you're an unbeliever this morning, your shock should lead you to repentance. Because the stuff that is declared in verses 23 to 68 is some visual aid to declare what hell is. And you need to realize that the consequences of disobedience to the will of God, which we're all guilty of through the disobedience to the will and way of God in his word, will lead to hell. And there is a way back to God through Jesus Christ. There is a way of hope and life. There is a way of blessing, that and that is eternal blessing. That we need to repent and come back to Christ and find hope and life and blessing in him. And verses 7 to 14 are a visual aid to tell you the blessings of heaven. Okay? Now, fellow Christians, let's talk to ourselves this morning. Choose this day. Felton Evangelical Church, let's go and shine as the people of grace, and we shine as obedient people. And as obedient people, we come into all of those blessings, and the fundamentally, the most great and gracious and wonderful of blessing is the growing in the knowledge of Christ, is meeting with him and knowing him more, and knowing that transformation of character as Christ comes to dwell in us, and we move in the way of God. That is the blessed life. The full life. I am not promising you good health and big bank accounts and all that stuff this morning, but I'm promising you blessings which are a million times better than that. In Christ! Fellow Christians, let's love it. Younger ones, can I just say, the attractions of the world, please don't go for the world. The world will take you down, 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 down. That's what those verses have told us. But the blessings take us up, 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 up. Finally. I think this is a finally. You've done very well, everybody, for bearing with us. It's a finally. Now, what are your attitudes to the commands of God? What are your attitudes to the commands of God? You say you're a Christian, yeah? And you hear the command of God. What commands could we say? David mentioned them in the children's talk. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not have idols. Now, those, and then you could go through the Bible, you found so many commands. Now, I want to know, what is your response to the command of God? Now, we all fail, brothers and sisters, as Christians, I know we fail. But what's your response to the command of God? If you just think, well, you know, I'll take it or leave it, I'm going to go my own way, then you've got no right to be calling yourself a Christian. Because although we fail, the Christian wants to obey. The Christian wants to go in the way of God. You're a contradiction if you hear the command of God and say, so what? The Christian proves their life, not through sinlessness, but by loving the commandments and wanting to obey them. Because they know that's the blessed way. I'll leave it there. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless us. And even if we just remember that if you obey God, it'll go well. If you disobey God, it'll go badly. Then it's all been worth it.